Warner. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm a morning person. Haven't been in the afternoon service for years. But greetings to all of you who are here on site and to those who are online. Greetings to those who are in TNT. When I count my blessings, I count you twice. You've heard that for years, I'm sure. It's a 100-year-old saying, but it's still nice to hear it when somebody tells you that they really appreciate you and consider you a blessing. Thanksgiving should be a joyful thing. We have a responsibility to be thankful every day. And believe it or not, we even have commands from Scripture that tell us to be thankful. The Message translation, which some of you probably have seen, says, thank you is the password for the access to the gates of the Lord. We'll see that in a minute. So naturally, we are thankful for the good things we have, but we can also be thankful for the bad things that never happened, that didn't come to pass after all. You know, like the rain that was freezing rain was supposed to hit, and it just turned to rain. So it was just a wet mess instead of a very slick, dangerous mess. Or the time you were almost hit by that other car on the highway, but at the last second, things cleared up, and you just avoided a terrible accident. Things that never materialized. And we can also be thankful that only God and you know all the facts about you. And you can be thankful for dirty dishes, too, because you know how they got dirty? You had plenty of food to put on them. So there are a lot of things we can be thankful for. And having abundance can sometimes make us unthankful, ungrateful, and lacking in humility. If you have food and clothes and a roof over your head, a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the people on the planet. And if we can meet today safely without harassment or fear, you're better off than 3 billion people on the planet. You'll hear more about that later in the announcements. So Psalm 100 is the one we'd like to look at today, and it's a wonderful, cheerful song to help us to banish ingratitude and to grow and cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving and joyful gratitude. So today we'd like to unpack Psalm 100, as they call it, unpacking, looking at it in detail. Some of the analysis I'll be using today comes from the Living Beyond the Daily Grind by Charles Swindoll, the Nelson Study Bible, the Word in Life Study Bible, and from the Sansino Commentary. You know, originally the Psalms were the hymnal for the temple. Psalm 100 is only 5 verses long, but it is addressed to the whole world, the entire world, and it contains 7 commands just in 5 verses. And in addition to the commands, it has one verse that follows up that summarizes God's character and gives us 3 reasons for the commands. Psalm 100 speaks to the whole world, and it speaks about the Lord. The Sansino Commentary says that in Psalm 100, all the people of the earth are invited to join with Israel in worship of God and to serve him with gladness. And if they do that, then they all will benefit from his loving kindness. Let's just read the Psalm, Psalm 100, and I'll read from the New King James Version today. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So notice in verse 1, it's addressed to all the lands. The English Standard Version says, everyone on earth. So that's pretty inclusive. And notice also in verse 1, it says, make a joyful shout. This is entire verse, Psalm is talking about making public praise to the Lord and shout. Show some enthusiasm for the things he's done for us. Now, the 7 commands in the psalm here, I'd just like to highlight the action verbs for each one. Is make, serve, come, know, enter, be, and bless. Now, we look at each one more closely, and we'll see a little more detail there to help us understand. Number 1 is make a joyful shout to the Lord. You know, there are times you just feel so happy because of things that God has done for you, you just really want to shout. And you feel like you'd like to tell the whole world about the things that God has done in your to help you. And church can actually be a happy hour atmosphere if we're really happy to be here. be thankful to be here and to be with people of like mind. The Lord does great things for which we all want to shout, but he also does a lot of little things we also like to shout for those too. Some things happen throughout the day, and you just want to say, thank you, Lord, for that. That was a nice touch. That was really helpful. And I know that was you giving me that perfect and whole gift from above. So, for example, you're running late, and it seems like you're just going to miss that appointment. But he intervenes, and you hit every light green. And so you get there a minute early. So that's the last something you can be thankful for. Or how about the time he rescued you when you were on the job and you could have been injured very seriously, but you escaped because of God's intervention? Or another time you might have been fired, but he intervened too and rescued you. How about the time last week when you were ready to change lanes, and then at the last second you saw something in the corner of your eye in a blind spot where your mirror doesn't pick it up, and you just stayed in your lane, and that truck went zooming on by you, and you would have been smeared across the landscape if you had made that lane change. So there are a lot of little things like that. Maybe they seem like little, but they could have been very big. You know, you could have lost your car and maybe even your life in some of the traffic situations we all face during the week. And how about the time he caught you from falling so you didn't break a limb? And it was the last second you were able to catch yourself and recover. So things like that we want to be thankful for, and we feel like shouting when he does things like that. Serve the Lord with gladness is the next command. There are very few things that do a better job of banishing ingratitude than serving others. When you get busy and help somebody else, you forget about what might be on your mind. Now, human beings usually approach their king with some trepidation because they fear making a mistake, either in courtesy or some other mistake. But we should approach God with a joyful heart. We should be glad to be here, to appear before him, and to be taught. Command number three, come before his presence with singing. Franz Joseph Haydn was a great musician. He taught Mozart, and he taught Beethoven, and he was considered the father of the symphony. Now, those are pretty serious credentials in the musical field. And here's what he had to say. I think it's a notable quote about coming before God. When I think of God, my heart is so full of joy that the notes leap and dance as they leave my pen. And since God has given me a cheerful heart, I serve him with a cheerful spirit. So that was, I think, a pretty startling thing from a musician who regarded his talents as coming from God. Now, each year at the Feast of Tabernacles, amazing, amazing things happen, miracles. This year at Lancaster, where we were, it was another miracle. The singing was unbelievable, the congregational singing. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just imagining it. But then two of the speakers got up, and they both commented about how inspiring it was and how people had really put their hearts into singing. Nobody was checking their nails or looking around the counting the ceiling tiles. They were involved, and they really sang out. So it was a wonderful experience, and people put their hearts into it. They were obeying this command right here from this chapter to come before his presence with singing. We can do that every week. How about we start today and really sing out on the next hymn? We've been singing pretty well in the opening set, and we can continue that momentum. Number four, know that the Lord, he is God. Acknowledge him. And that's a big step in a society that's busy ignoring God. Acknowledge him. The Good News, the Bible, the International Standard Version, and the New Living Translation all say, acknowledge him. So this, in the New King James, it says, know him. What are we supposed to know about the Lord? Well, the next verse tells us, number one, we are to know that God is our Lord. So we put him first in our lives, and great things happen. And we know that the one we worship is the Lord, our God. Number two, we are to know that he has made us. He's designed us inside and out. And some men claim to be self-made men. Don't believe it. There is no such thing. None of us got this far without a lot of help from men and women, and especially from God. So nobody is really a self-made man. I know one or two think they are, and they're in pretty bad health now after having lived all their lives with that attitude. So he's still making us. He's not done with us. He's not finished with us. We're all a work in progress, and he is constantly putting his energy into each of us. So please be patient with yourself. He's patient with us. And please be obedient, too. You'll be glad you did. And number three, we are to know that we are his sheep and that we belong to him. Now, as sheep, we are to submit and not to try to be the shepherd. That's his job. So he is our shepherd king, and we are his well-tended sheep. So don't ever forget that. So in summary, then, about the three things we know to know about God, we are to know that he is the Lord, he has made us, and we are his sheep. Command number five, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Today there's no temple that we can enter which has courts and gates, but we can enter his presence by prayer. That's how we enter his presence today, and we are enter with praise and thanksgiving. In the Message translation, this verse reads this way, enter with the password, thank you. That's the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise, thank him, worship him. So I think that's a pretty amazing and a clever way of saying that verse and getting the point across. Command number six, be thankful to him. This command repeats the previous command, so we are not to miss the importance of giving thanks. So when we repeat things, that's usually for emphasis. So on Thanksgiving Day, to whom are people thankful? You can be thankful to friends and family. That's certainly appropriate. But our primary thanksgiving should be to the Lord for his good and perfect gifts from above. And bless his name is command number seven. Bless his name. Show honor to his name, which is higher than any other name. Ingratitude is a hallmark of our age, which is the time of the end. And they're terrible characteristic traits that are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You've read them many times, I'm sure. I'll just read part of the list for emphasis today. 2 Timothy 3, 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and so forth. A lot of others, unconditions. So being grateful is the first step to idolatry. Have you ever thought of it that way? One of the first marks of rejecting God is forgetting to thank him. And those who forget to thank God begin to put themselves at the center of their little universe. So don't start down that path. Don't start. In the two Cincinnati East congregations, we have a club for those who are age 18 to 35. It's called Living 1835. So today I have a suggestion. My recommendation is that instead of being ungrateful, we of all ages join the Thanking 365 Club. Thanking 365 Club. And as members, we would all thank God 365 days a year, every year. So we can try that. You can think about it. When we are thankful for all the Lord has done for us, we are happy to offer gifts to others of ourself and our time and our resources. Now, finally, here in verse 5, we're given three reasons for these seven commands. The first one is because he's good. Second is because his mercy is everlasting. And the third is because his truth endures to all generations. And I think you could summarize these three reasons this way. Because he deserves it. Because he deserves it. Reason number one, his commands are always best for us. He always has our best interest in mind, and his ways are perfect. Reason number two, I'd like you to think about Psalm 136. 136. We don't need to turn there. It's 26 verses long, and every verse starts out with the song leader singing the first part of the verse, and then the congregation responds for the second half of the verse, and they sing. His mercy endures forever. 26 times. I think it's trying to get a point across there. I think that would be very effective if we did that at once in a while in our Sabbath services. And his mercy endures forever. And mercy means loyal love. He is loyal and loves us greatly. So it's a prime characteristic of God, that is his mercy. And reason number three is truth endures to all generations, even today and beyond today. Have you ever heard that phrase? So today, after seeing how important praise of the Lord is, let's be active vocal participants in worship. We are fed a balanced diet each Sabbath of worship subjects based on Scripture. And that is a wonderful relief from the dribble we hear all week, from the messages from the culture that ignores God. So in Psalm 100, we have a wonderful, cheerful song to help us banish ingratitude, to grow and to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving and joyful gratitude today and every day by thanking 365.